an amazing Easter weekend. How many of you were here and really enjoyed it? Yeah, wasn't that great? Okay, guys, this was like 700 salvations. You can give the Lord a praise that's better than that. Okay, get that. 700 souls. People just like you, with individual situations just like you, took a walk this weekend and walked up and said, Lord, I give you my all, my everything. Isn't that amazing? There's one song that our worship team has been singing lately. That from the first moment I heard this song, there was this one piece that just hit me. You know, something sometimes can just hit you, and I've been thinking about it ever since, and that's kind of the inspiration of my message this morning. And that's the song, is her name Marlo? She raps it, right? That song is called, yeah, You Saved Me. You Found Me. Okay, that song, and then she raps it, and then she sings, steady me, for I'm about to freak. Have you heard that song? You heard that, right? Yeah, okay, she's rapping it. Did you not get that? They do put the words up there, but I couldn't believe the first time she sang it because it was so, I was so there, you know? I'm like, steady me, for I'm about to freak. I love that. I love that. I get so identify with that because, you know, sometimes we walk and we stumble or we trip or we whatever. And it's like we need somebody to put up their hand and just steady us. You know, we know God. We walk in His peace. We walk in His grace. We walk in His love. And then sometimes something happens. It rattles us. And this is what it feels like. It just feels like you're falling apart a little in different degrees, of course. You know, sometimes it's a process that happens slowly, that you feel something is unraveling. You're losing control over a situation in your life. And slowly, you know, something is unraveling that is not pretty. That can destabilize you. That can make you want to fall. And sometimes it's suddenly that somebody says something, or you hear news from somewhere, or somebody acts a certain way that just shocks you. And it's like, oh, you know, like me this morning, I was like, oh, and I'm thinking, no, listen to your own message, you know, just steady me. And this morning I was just crying out. I said, steady me, for I'm about to freak. So, I just love that. Listen to the psalmist. It says in Psalm 119. So, the title of our message this morning is Steady Me. Anybody? Steady Me. If you don't need it today, you're going to need it. So, take note, okay? Psalm 119, verse 173. I love this in this translation. Oops, is this amplified? I think it is. It says, put your hand out and steady me. The psalmist says to God, put your hand out and steady me. I just love that. The previous verse in the same chapter, verse 107 says, this is what sets it up. If you read that whole chapter, you will see this. This is what sets it up. Verse 107 says, everything falling apart on me, God, put me together again with your word. Isn't that a beautiful word picture? Everything is falling apart, crying out to God and say, God, with your word, put me back together again, because now you're unraveling, right? And we need to be steadied. We need to be gathered. We need to be put back together. The 123rd verse of the same psalm says, I can't keep my eyes open any longer. This is a very weary soul. This is somebody who is fighting a battle, somebody who endures persecution, somebody whose life is not turning out exactly the way they thought it would. And they saying all these things, I cannot keep my eyes open. Things are falling apart. Put your hands, God, around me. Steady me. Steady me. Then I looked at the scriptures for the word steady in the original, you know, translation, and I found one word in the King James about steady, and I was so blessed. I found it in Exodus 17, verse 12. Now, you know the story about Moses. The army was fighting, but Moses was not in the battle. He was just sitting up on a hill, and as long as he had his hands up in the air, the battle was being won. And as when he got tired and his arms went down, the army was losing. So listen to this. But Moses' hands became heavy. Honestly, seriously, how many of you in this place sometimes feel your hands are becoming heavy? It's not that you have no faith. You know, you have your hands up, but sometimes it just becomes heavy. And this happened to Moses. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, and Aaron on the one side and Hur on the other side supported his arms and his hands. One on the one side, one on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. His hands were steady, and while his hands were steady, the battle was being won. So this is, we need it. Because if we lose the steadiness, we start to frazzle, the drama queen stuff. You all know the drama queen stuff? And if you say you've never heard of it, you're probably one of them. Your friends may identify you. That's what I'm talking about. The kind of drama queen stuff that we just, fall apart, you know. Come loose, bottom drops out, and all that stuff. Here's the definition of steady. It means firm, secure, faith, stability. That's Strong's definition of that word in the Bible. Other definitions are stable, unruffled. I love that. And cool and collected. That's what we want to be, right? We want to be steady and cool and collected. Listen, now I know it's hard sometimes to think and identify with Moses, but you know what we're talking about, right? Moses, it's the picture of the physical battle. In the Old Testament, it's a shadow of the things that we go through in the spiritual. So our battles are not against flesh and blood. But we are in different kinds of battles. We are in battles to stay steady. We are in battles for salvation of family members. We are in battles of relationships that are not going well, of friendships that may not going well, in a job situation, in your finances, so many areas. There are battles and there are fears that can come to you and make you want to fall apart. So the bottom line is, when we look at Moses, there was a battle and he had to win. And there is a way for us. Every battle that you are fighting, according to the Word of God, there's a way for you to win that battle. You have to win that battle. You are going to win that battle. Maybe not in the way that you figured it out. Oh, that's a hard one. But in God's way, in God's time, you will win that battle. And this is what it is all about. If you feel you are not winning the battle, we need grace, right? We know the definition of grace in this church. It's God's power, His divine sovereign ability in me to get the job done on my behalf when I cannot do it. As I looked at the word grace in the New Testament, now you may all know this, but it's just recapping it. I found just multiple, over and over and over in the letters written in the New Testament, that was the greeting. And you know, in the Old Testament, that was the greeting was shalom. In the Old Testament, you know, the greeting for hello and farewell and goodbye, it was all shalom. The greeting in the New Testament, I see, is grace be to you and peace. And I read again, grace be to you and peace. And we've been talking a lot about grace, right, in this church. And it started speaking to me, that word peace. Grace be to you and peace. Grace is God's power in me. I'm getting the job done. And peace. Because, you know, while you're in the heat of the battle, while you are being, functioning in the power of God, as a child of God, you could come loose at the seams. The bottom can sometimes drop out. So don't freak, okay? I'm about to freak. Don't freak. This happens, and that's why it was so beautiful that greeting says peace. And I thought, that's the part. That's the steady part. So let's look at that word peace in Scripture. and see what the Bible says in the Old Testament. This is what it means. We are going to look at peace today. Our title is Steady Me, but I want to say let's get a peace plan. You know, any army, any country has a peace plan. Do you have a peace plan? Do you have a peace plan for your life? You should have a peace plan. Okay? So by the time you leave here today, you're going to have a peace plan perfectly spelled out for you according to the Word of God. So let's have some peace talk. Okay? This is peace talk time. Hebrew in the Old Testament, the word is shalom, is peace. It means safe, well, happy, friendly, welfare, health, prosperity, favor, rest, safe. When the Jews still today say shalom, it includes all that. They speak the peace of God. Isn't it amazing? And then the last definition in this little list, according to the dictionary, says holy. W-H-O-L-L-Y. Holy. And like, ooh, holy. Holy. That means together, right? That means one. That means not in many pieces. Whole, together, one, steady, peace. Okay? Then in the New Testament, the language is Greek. So it's a little different word. When you go over to the New Testament, it goes from shalom also to peace. But if you translate it in the Greek, it's a little bit of a different word in the Greek. And this is what it means. And all the Greek scriptures, except when the people are told to be quiet, they say peace, peace, be still. That's a different word. But the peace of God that the New Testament talks about, this is the word. It means to join. I just loved it when I read that. Peace. It's from the root word in Greek to join together. Also prosperity. It means one. It means quietness and set at one again. Now, isn't that beautiful? So this is what will set us at one again. Now, in the New Testament, this is the word that Jesus uses. Okay, so life happens, all right? We walk with God and life happens. And here we are in a situation that we find ourselves in a war. What is going on? Have you noticed that when there is no peace in your house, no peace in your life, no peace in your mind, no peace wherever it is, there's a diversity of opinions. There's a diversity of sometimes strong opinions. There's a diversity, there's a division, there is division, and there's no unity. So I started thinking about that, you know, in the garden, God created us and we were all one with Him. We were all one with God. Then sin came in and we were separated from God. Now listen, when you take something that is meant to be together and you pull it in many directions, what is caused? It's causing stress. See where stress comes from? Stress comes from when something is supposed to be held together that is now being pulled apart. So the enemy's MO is many times divide and conquer. He will divide to conquer your family. He will divide to conquer your marriage. He will divide to conquer your mind. He will bring options and thoughts to you that will make the issue in your life in so many pieces that you don't even know where to go with it. It causes stress to be separated from something that is supposed to be together. And that is what happened when sin came in the garden. We got separated from God, but there's not quite, you know, we're not forever outside of God's plan. He still had a plan to bring us together. But in that separation, when we are not one with God, there is stress. All your pieces are not put together right. So what happened when Jesus came? The Old Testament said, and His name, Isaiah 9, shall be called. All these things, and then also, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 53 says, we just had Easter, the chastisement of whose peace? The chastisement, meaning the punishment. There was punishment and blood involved to buy our peace back, to get one with God. And the Old Testament says, and Isaiah says in the prophetic word about the Messiah, the chastisement, the punishment, the payment of our peace, that oneness to get back together with God was upon him. We just saw Easter. We just saw how he died on the cross, and he paid for that stress factor that made us fall apart and far from God for us to actually come back together again. Okay? And then Jesus came, and you look at the scriptures about peace in the New Testament, and it just blesses you so, because it all means being put back together. Now, being put back together with whom? Put back together with God. Put back together, I'm going to show you the scriptures, with each other also. So the Prince of Peace came. Hebrews 7 calls him the King of Peace. I love that. The King of Peace. We're in a new kingdom with Christ, right? The King of Peace came in, and he shed his blood, and he paid the price. And it's through the blood that we can be one with God. But it's not just through the blood. Jesus paid the price through the blood. There's this very important factor that's in there. It is, you have to have faith in Christ. And faith means not just hoping. Faith means believing with some action to it. That is what brings you into the realm of being one with God again. So the blood of Jesus is there for everybody. He shed it for us to be whole again. And we're going to see, in order to get this peace, you have to believe in Christ. Jesus says, I'm the truth, the life, the way. He says, my peace I give to you. So let's look at that in John 14. I want you to go into your Bibles. So I may have it on the overhead, but open up your Bibles. You will be blessed. Open up your Bibles and you can mark it. John 14 really is a fantastic scripture for this. First thing I thought about this morning when I realized I was awake, it is as if the Spirit of the Lord said to me, let not your heart be troubled. And I'm thinking, that's in my chapter that we're going to talk about this morning. Okay, so John 14 says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. And then he says he's going. Okay, so here we see Jesus is getting ready after this chapter or so. He said, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. And then he goes into the last sayings of Christ and the prayer and everything else. So here Jesus is on his way to the cross, basically. And he's going to leave his disciples. And he's telling them all these things that's going to happen. And then he says to them, but don't fear. Don't fear. And he starts giving them promises. He starts telling them, I'm the truth and the life and the way. Talks a lot about believing. Verse 10 says, do you not believe that I am who I am? Verse 11 says, believe in me. Verse 12 says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me. So Jesus is telling them things. And he says, those who believe in me, right? And he goes on, and the verse that we want to get to is really verse 27 that starts with peace. But look in your Bibles, verse 26, this may not be on the overhead. Verse 26 talks about the helper that is going to come, okay? So these are promises. Jesus is sharing with his disciples promises. And then he says to them in verse 27, peace I leave with you. He said, no, it's not going to come. Like the Holy Spirit is still going to come. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. He's giving it to them right there and then. By what? By all these promises. By all these things he's telling them and needing for them to believe these things that are going to bring peace into their lives. So verse 27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world give. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. So he's telling them, listen, I'm leaving. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. But in the meantime, here's something for you to keep yourself together. Because the disciples in a way said, I'm about to freak, Jesus. You what? You're going to leave us? You're going to die on a cross? And Jesus says, let me give you some things that will keep you stable. In the meantime, he says, peace I give to you, not as the world gives, which tells us the world has its version of peace. that is not God's peace. So we as believers need to know the difference. He says, my peace I give to you, not like the world gives. Okay? So don't be afraid. Keep it together. Don't get unraveled. It's going to be okay. Pull yourself together. Gather yourself together. And it is on account of all these things he's telling them. At this point, he hasn't died yet. He's telling them these things. So we see, I made a statement here. You have faith in Christ, okay? But do you believe and do you know everything he said? You say, yes, you've given your heart and your life to Jesus Christ. You've been born again. You are walking in faith. But the question is, do you really believe all the things that he said? And how can you believe if you don't know? So do you know all the things that he said? And that's why you are here. That's where we are going. That's why we're looking through these scriptures and say, let us see what God is saying so that I can know what God is saying, so I can believe in what God is saying so that I don't fall apart. And you still will fall apart, but just a little bit. Okay? There's no room for drama queens. Okay? Okay, now you say, well, I can do whatever I want when I get to my house. And Jesus sees you. He sees you when you freak out in your house. So, this is what the Lord wants today. Do you know? Okay, let's go to 2 Peter. Go to your Bibles. This is just a phenomenal scripture. 2 Peter, towards the back of your Bible. First chapter, verse 2. This is one of the greetings. I told you there are multiple greetings, right? About grace I give to you and peace. The greetings, right? Remember? Okay, you have to talk to me. Remember, I told you that the many of the books start, the writers start with grace be to you and peace. And then there's a full stop. There's a period. And then he goes on, the writer usually goes on with what he said. But then I look at Peter and I see something different in the book of Peter, because Peter was here at his last moments in life too. Peter was not going to live much longer. He actually says there, I'm about to die later on. So Peter is not stopping there. You know, he starts the letter with grace be to you and peace. And then he says something that just blows you away. Be multiplied. Now, how many of you need a multiplication in your life? You know, I'm at the point, I don't need a plus. I honestly don't do pluses anymore. In the physical realm, you do plus. In the spiritual realm, when God is in the equation, it is multiplication. God multiplies. Yeah, he adds. But when he adds, it's really multiplication that he's adding. And this is something we have to grab a hold of. Listen to this. Grace and peace. Now remember, we're talking about steady me. Help me not to freak out. Grace and peace be multiplied. It's only in the book of Peter that he actually goes on. So I'm listening. He says, in the what of God? We just talked about it. In the knowledge of God. It says, be multiplied to you how? In the knowledge of God. So you have to know what God is saying. Now that you have believed, now that you are saved, now that you've walked the walk, I don't care how long it is, the next step again is to know something more about God. Because as you do, your grace and your peace will be multiplied. Okay? And listen to the further on in this, the next verse. As his divine power, what was that again? The divine power was what again in the previous verse? His grace, remember? God's sovereign divine ability or power that works in you. And here it's all like in a couple of verses together. It's so encapsulated, so beautiful. And his divine power has given to us some things. God, I have divine power and grace with this girl, but with that girl, this is where it stops. I have divine grace and power to get along with this family member, but not that family member. It's not scriptural. It says He has given us divine power to us in all things. And now we can get real spiritual and say, yeah, it's just in the spirit. I praise God and you go and live like the devil. No. It says that pertain to life, life. Life is everything. Life is eternal life. Life is spiritual life. Life is the life on earth. Life, when the Bible says life, and we want to say it's one thing, it's usually more. So this life, he's given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. Look at this in your Bible. Through the what? We're talking about knowing so that we can move on, so that we can know what to believe in. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Now the next verse, also important. Look at that. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. This is awesome. This is talking about grace, living by grace. It's talking about living in peace by knowing the promises that God has given us, by knowing the God that we serve. And I'm so glad there's such a diversity here, because some of you just got saved. Some of you have been saved for a couple years. Some of you have been saved for 10, 20, 30 years. But you know what? You can never know God completely, because God is big. God is much bigger. God is much bigger, bigger, bigger than what we can, even in a lifetime, just get a grip on. There's always something more that God wants to teach us about his promises. So we see that grace and peace is multiplied in the knowledge of his promises, knowing that he has given us everything that pertains to what? Life and godliness. So where are the excuses in there? It's a pretty tight piece of scripture, don't you think? Yeah? Pretty tight. It covers basically everything we might ever need. Listen, the gospel is a gospel of peace, all right? Romans 5:15 talks about it, quotes Isaiah, when it says, how beautiful on the mountain are the feet of those who proclaim good news, proclaiming peace. And the Bible calls the gospel, this is really important, because it is the message, also in the New Testament, is called the gospel of peace. What does that mean according to our definition? It's the gospel, it's the story, it's the truth about peace. What does that mean? Peace being, we have been made one. We said in the New Testament, peace means bringing back together. So it's the gospel of peace. So the gospel of peace says we have been reconciled through Christ with God. We were separated from him, but now the veil has been broken down, the walls of separation came down, and we can actually be tight and one with God. That's the message of the gospel. So when you say the gospel of peace, you've just encapsulated the whole gospel, the whole message of peace, of being reconciled, of bringing together. And then here we are, cute little girls walking on our high heels and slipping, you know, every now and then. And we say, steady me, like the psalmist. Oh God, catch me, steady me, because I'm about to freak. And that's okay. But just know what that means. Steady me means peace. Okay, let's look at one more scripture here in Ephesians. Let's go back a little bit, a couple books to Ephesians. I would really love for you to open your Bibles and read this together. Ephesians 2, verse 14. Now, this is interesting. The writer of this book is addressing division. Does this make sense to you? You know where we're going with this? The writer in this chapter is addressing division. There were the Jews and there were the Gentiles. And you know, people got saved and the Jews got saved and the Gentiles got saved, but they were still kind of checking each other out, you know. You are not really one of us. There was, even in temple worship, there was a division amongst groups of people, men and women and all of that. So here, the writer of this book is addressing that fact. Ephesians 2, verse 14. then he starts. You can read it. That's also the scripture that says we are saved by grace through faith in verse 8. And he talks about it. We are the workmanship. And then he talks about Gentiles and so on. And a few political things in here. And then he says in verse 14, for he himself, who is that? Jesus, is our what? Peace. Who has made both one? Both being what? He's talking about the Jews and the Gentiles. They are no longer in Christ, Jews and Gentiles. Okay? They are no longer in Christ, man and woman. You are better than this one. All are in one new man, the Bible says. Has broken down the middle wall of separation. I'm going to go faster because we can spend a lot of time on this. Having abolished in the flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments containing the ordinances, so as to create in himself, Jesus, create in himself, what does it say? One new man from two, the Jew and the Gentile. And then look at that. It says, thus making peace. Peace is the bringing together into one of something that's been separated that should not be separated. And that he might reconcile, that is a very important word in the study on peace, that he may reconcile them both to themselves? No, to God. So God is in the equation too. We have been, we don't have time to go to Colossians 1:22, says that through the blood of Jesus, we are reconciled into peace. So the blood of Jesus reconciled you and me to God, brought peace between you, us and God, and it also brought peace between us, amongst us. Here on the earth. Isn't that amazing? And the word that the Bible uses for that is peace. How amazing is it? That's God's plan, is for us to live in that peace. So here's a definition for peace. We could go on and on. Oh my goodness, there's so many beautiful scriptures. Okay, definition for peace. I would say the definition for peace is a constant awareness that God is with you. Do you see that it doesn't have anything to do with your circumstances? Right? That do you see that if you understand and know that the blood of Jesus has reconciled you to God through Jesus Christ and each other, it is irrelevant what is going on around you because you are going to be together. Because you are going to be constantly aware that God is with you. Listen, when it seems to you that you are losing your peace, you need to stop and consider this, that you are not alone, that through the blood of Jesus Christ, you have been reconciled with God, you have been made one with God, you have been brought together with God, and you are now one, Christ in you and you in Christ. So you are not alone. Doesn't matter what you go through, constantly knowing that God is with you brings peace in your life. Think what it is for you. For me this morning with my little issue, I was like, okay, this is not a good time for all this to be happening, right? And then I think, but God, you're with me, right? You said I need to teach this morning. So I know that. I know all these scriptures, and what a comfort it brings. That when you know you are one with him, you've been reconciled through faith in Jesus Christ and the blood of the Lamb, the Bible also calls it the blood of the cross, you have now, who have been far off, brought near to God. And you are reconciled with God completely. So he is with you. We get frazzled. We get unraveled, we lose our peace, but it has absolutely nothing to do with God. It has nothing to do with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with the price that has been paid for you on the cross. God's supply and his work is perfect. And what a comfort that is, that I can now be part of a king and a prince. He's called the King of Peace, the King of Salem. He's called the Prince of Peace. That I am now part of Him. I am now one with Him. Then, death, where is your power? Where is it? It has no sting. That's right. Because Jesus went ahead for us. He made the way for us in everything. So when that happens, that knowing that, oh, I'm one, just see the picture of something that broke apart, that's supposed to be one, that's coming together again. That is where you are with God. That holds you together. That steadies you. Oh my goodness, that song. Did I tell you I love that song? Ah, especially that needs to be rapped. That's, you know, right? You don't say freak in a hymn. You say it in a rap. You say, steady me, for I'm about to freak. Oh, I love that. I could so identify with that. Steady me, steady me, steady me, Lord, steady me. Okay, okay, okay. I got it. I got it. You are with me. I'm reconciled in you with Jesus Christ through the blood. I'm not alone. I am constantly aware of the presence of God in my life. And that keeps me together, not my circumstances. Praise God. So I want to just give you a couple points now that we've done the introduction. Ah, Lord Jesus, help us. I've got like 200 scriptures here, okay? I'm not going to get to share it. If you want it, you can just have my notes. Just make a study for yourself on peace. It will blow you away. It is just, God's word is better than food. Think of the best piece of pie that you can ever think of. The best taste you've ever tasted. That should have been our icebreaker. What's the best thing you've ever eaten in your life? You know, God's word tastes finer than that. God's word is so much better. It satisfies your soul. It brings you in unity. It brings you, the scripture says, through your word, the psalmist says, gather me back, steady me, hold me. So let's just look at how to let peace steady you. We are skipping some things, so don't worry, okay? How to let peace steady you. I'm going to give you a couple points and then we'll wrap it up. How do peace steady you? First of all, get the God kind. You know, in our personal lives, we need to get the God kind. We need to know when stuff unravels, there are different options you have. You can go with peace like what the world would tell you. The peace of the world would say to you, oh, you just need a break. Have you heard that one? Stay in bed this morning. Somebody asked you to do something, but you don't have to. You're tired. You need a break. You need to get some peace. Yeah, some of you, when you get agitated like that, it's true, you do need a nap. Sometimes a Tylenol and a nap. You know, sometimes that's very spiritual. Just take a Tylenol and a nap and you get your faith back sometimes. There are times that you get just tired and exhausted. But I'm talking about when things unravel in your life and you feel like you're losing it. You may not know what's happening, but something is out of sync in your life. Okay? So then you have options. You can grab to what the world says. The world says, hey, just another friend will do it, you know? If you just have the right man in your life, and I know by the Spirit of God, that there are some of you sitting in this room thinking that your life will be really good if you just have the right man. Man, I wish I could ask you to raise your hands. But don't, okay? Don't. This is the Lord speaking to you. It's not true. It's a lie. It's not true. Did you hear me? It's not true. Your peace and your happiness is not in another man. Okay, now some of you may say, I'm married. You think I don't know about you? You don't think I don't know? You married and you still think that? You are married to a man and you think, oh my goodness, if I just had another man, if I just had another husband. Okay, you know it's true. They are all wonderful and they're all the same. It is not true. I need to just take a little time for you to let that sink in. This is seriously some stuff that you struggle with. You think about this when nobody's watching. You've even had the guts to ask Dad, God, for it. You may have had the guts to say, God, it's the man you gave me. Or God, if I just had another man. It's a lie. There is no other man that'll put up with you anyways. So just keep the one you got, okay? They're not exactly standing in line out your door. They're not. Keep the one you got. And you start walking in peace and see how God transforms your life. So we need to get the God kind. Colossians 1:20 says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, reconciling all things to himself. It is, he's the peacemaker. He's the peacemaker. And John 14, we read, he said, it's his peace. He says, my peace. Don't go with the world's kind of peace. Go with God's kind of peace. Okay? And ask him. Psalm 119 says, we read it earlier. The psalmist says, God, steady me. Steady me. And then Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You know this verse. And it ends, it says, and the peace of God, when you pray, when you bring these supplications to God, the peace of God will do what? It passes all understanding. What will it do? It'll guard your heart. It'll guard your mind. Do you see how we need this? I need my heart guarded because sometimes it's very feeble. And it leads me astray. It lies to me. I need my mind guarded. And when I see the word of God says that is through the peace, knowing that God is with me all the time, I'm like, thank you, Jesus. I have another promise. Thank you, Jesus. I know something more about you. So now I know something else. I have another promise. Now your grace and your peace is going to be multiplied in my life. All right, number two, stop and remember who God is. Just stop. Just stop. And remember who God is. We've already read the scripture in 2 Peter that says, grace and peace be multiplied. That is who God is. Listen, I have served God for many years. Man, I should be further along than I am. I should be stronger than what I am. I should be walking in more faith. I've known God for a long time. But God is just so amazing. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Jim had his first message on the promises. I don't know how many of you were there on a Wednesday night. He's been speaking about promises. Simple, straightforward promise of God messages. And the first one he preached, I know I've heard these things before, but this was anointed. God woke me up 3 o'clock that morning, and I was just so touched by the Holy Spirit through that message. I rolled out of my bed, I went to my place, and I said, okay, God, give it to me. Because my mind said to me, okay, you've got books and books of promises. You know, I was fighting for my healing. I counted the other day, I have pages with 35 healing scriptures, reciting it over and over. I have promises for my children, promises for everything. And I hear this message and I say, Lord, if this is the message, this is for me. And I went in there and I say, okay, God, give it to me. Give it to me fresh. And I'm telling you, God gave it to me. He gave me a specific promise, several, 5 verses for all 4 of my kids. And he gave me a promise for my husband. Just out of all of scripture, he just gave me those. And it was like I have never seen it before. It was fresh. It was anointed. I said, God, yes. This is what I'm going to do. I am going to pray those scriptures. These are my promises. These are my promises. And I'm taking it, I'm holding on to it, and I'm going to pray these things over my family, my children. Doesn't matter how long you've known God. His word is always fresh. Okay? So stop and remember who God is according to his promises. Then the last one is let go and let God. You cannot walk in peace with God if you are attached to your own ways, your own desires, your own needs, your own plans. This reconciliation process, okay? This oneness with God that got broken and caused stress. And Jesus came to put us together. The problem is, while being apart from God, we have now attached ourselves to all these other things. So Jesus has paid the price on the cross for us to come back together in peace and in one, but we have to let go of some things in our life. We have to let go. There's Moses. Did God need Moses' hands to be fighting that war? The scripture we just read? No. All God needed from Moses was to have his hands up. That is such a place of surrender. Are you willing? Are you trusting God enough for your situation to take your hands off of it? And to just let go and say, God, it's tough. Just when you think you have, God brings something else. And he says, okay, but this one, are you ready to let go of this one? Letting go means I don't drop my arms. I let go of my issues and my problems, and I start focusing on God. I start serving God. I start praising God. I start singing God. I start reading the scriptures. I start reciting the scriptures. I just make it my zeal and my mission in life to know more about God, not your problem. So are you ready to let go and let God? Colossians 3:15. Let the peace from Christ rule your hearts. That rule means umpire. The one translation says, let the peace of God rule your life. What does that mean? With that, I'm going to close. What does that mean to let the peace of God rule? This is part of letting go and let God. The Bible says peace is your umpire. Now, peace is something that you can sense. It's not a spiritual sense that you have. It's not a prophetic anointing that you have. But when you're in Christ and you feel into a situation that you get pushed, be careful. When God does a work, he invites you. He says, come this way. So the Holy Spirit in you will let you know when you're about to do something, when you're about to take a step that's not really in harmony with him. See, this is why to walk in this peace, we have to know, like that first scripture we read. We have to know, like Jesus explained to them all these things. And he says, I'm telling you this, in that chapter 14, I think it was of John. He's telling them, he said, I tell you all these things. So when it happens to you, then you'll know these things. You have to know these things. And as you fill yourself with the Spirit of God and with the knowledge of God, then peace will be your umpire. Peace in your heart. You will not have peace. Happened to me one time. I think I've shared it before. I wanted to go to South Africa to go see my mom. Several thousand dollars for a ticket to go. And there was a special and a deal and I could have gotten. And I told my husband I'm going to go this couple years ago. And, you know, the deal was going away. It was like a window of opportunity that came and it left again. And through the whole time, I had to book my ticket. Was a good price. I just couldn't get myself to do it. I was just like, I know I have to. My husband every day, did you book it? But he lets me, you know, he doesn't do it for me or anything because he knows. So, he just kind of let me be. So, and then the day came that the offer expired. And then that day I thought, man, I need to book this ticket. It's probably just one day left. I did not know I was being led by peace. I just know I didn't feel right about it. Only afterwards, God said, that was my peace that was leading you. And the day I thought by myself, okay, I have to now really book this ticket, I guess. You know, I felt the pressure. And I called the agent in another state, and the offices had already closed. And I'm like, ah, I missed it. And I just knew, I just had a knowing in my knower that said to me, this is okay. And literally days later, some airline sent me an email that says, here's the deal, 2-for-1. And I said, okay, Lord, you wanted my husband to go with me. So I went to him and I said, this is God. You wanted to send me to my mother. He doesn't want to go. You know, he says, you go. I wanted him to go. So had I bought that other ticket, I would have gone alone. But I was not, that umpire in my inner being was not giving me the go-ahead to go and do that. And then I realized, because God had something else in store for me, he wanted to bless me. He wanted to send me at an even better price for the two of us. I thought, wow, how many times do we miss out? We really, really miss out. So, you know, let the peace of God rule in you. The Prince of Peace, the King of Peace, the one who took the punishment for your peace, the one whose name is peace. Let him, through Christ, it is in the New Testament that the word meaning change a little bit when Jesus comes into the picture. There's a picture of being apart, and the peace of God sets us together again, so that the definition of peace, a constant, what was I saying? A constant awareness of that God is with me. I want that. I don't know about you, and it is available for us. So we have some discussion questions that you can go ahead. And also, the leaders have a little handout for you. That is your peace plan. Did you all get that? It's like scriptures. There are like a bunch of points there. When you feel like you're going to freak out, that you're falling apart, I want that to put that in your Bible. And at some point at the table, you're going to also have time to discuss that, okay? That little paper is your peace plan to take with you. God bless you.